Welcome to this episode of Statum, a podcast for clinical partners. I'm your host, Richard Schooley. The purpose of this weekly podcast, as you know, is to connect the dots that may not be apparent. You can subscribe on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. On Statum today, we have Dr. Chris Thompson discussing primary care transformation, what it is, and the compelling why behind it. Chris is a family medicine physician at the St. Joseph Clinic, and together with Dr. Libby Brever and others, a driving force behind team-based care that is a kind of engine, I would say, for primary care transformation. I'd like to give you one compelling reason to listen to the podcast today. I think Chris Thompson is honest. I also think he's a good diagnostician. He sees the complexities of providing healthcare today within a system and never loses his compass on caring for patients, caring for the team around him, or just being the best husband, father, friend, and physician he can be. I think Chris is a pragmatist who is unwilling to give up the reason he was drawn to medicine, nor is he willing to exhaust himself. So the long arc of his work bends toward improvement. Dr. Libby Brever couldn't join us for the conversation, but she'll be a guest on a future episode. Here's my conversation with family medicine doc, Chris Thompson. You mentioned the team and the patient. What I have appreciated about you and Libby in the conversations in the past about this topic is that there's you in it, right? There's the physician or the APP in it as well. There's your personal life.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's always seemed to be one of the main reasons to do team-based care.
You know, in thinking about this conversation, Richard, as I thought about it, there's really two main parts, I think. First off is the kind of the why, and at the ground level, what are we doing?
Yeah.
I went into medicine specifically to become a family doc. And at the time, I was a non-traditional student. I'd been out of college for a while doing other things before I decided to apply for and hopefully go to medical school. Hmm. Married, had one of my kiddos in the beginning of medical school. So I had, well, I think, and this is just my perspective, a different lens going into things, but I always wanted to both serve people, trying to help them live their best lives in a way that I could understand and hopefully relate to, right? We all live our lives, and so healthcare happens in the context of someone's life. So how do I keep that in mind? And also do it in a way that takes care of my peers, my nurses, my team. I have a lot of friends who are nurses and did before I went to medical school. So recognizing their role. And so looking at that whole team and doing it in a way that also gives me joy so that when I come home to my kids, right, my wife, my family, I still have the energy to be who I want to be.
I love that intention.
Well, yeah, and it's balanced with, it's a double-edged sword. I have high expectations of myself and of others. And so mm-hmm. those high expectations, then it's easy for me to put a lot of energy into something, sometimes at the detriment of other things that matter. I feel like all of us, or almost all of us in medicine, whether it's nurses or physicians or nurse practitioners or PAs or whatever, I think we have a sense that we can do things better than traditionally we have. And so that's what led to trying to transform how we provide care and do it better, right? Work smarter, not harder. Focus on care as opposed to, you know, visits or the widgets that sometimes we're measured on or whatever else. Eliminate duplication of work, et cetera. And also try and recognize that we're all just trying to take care of each other and our patients. So that's what led to the work. And now we talk about primary care transformation as a more official effort, right? Because we also live in centric care in a system. And so the system allows me to not have to worry about some of the HR things that I might if I own my own practice, or,
sure,
you know, who refilled the toilet paper, who cleaned the fish tank, or is the right vacuuming getting done, right?
Yeah.
The trade-off of that is I'm also part of a system. So that means that some things that I might want to do on my own, I can't necessarily. So, you know, again, like all things, right, you take the bad with the good, two sides to the sword.
Right.
And in this case, that means primary care transformation is also about trying to standardize some workflows and delivery so that it is possible for centric care to do it more efficiently and more broadly across the huge population that we serve across the state.
Right.
And so those are the two parts to it, right? It's the guts of why are we doing this and how does this really impact us and our patients and our team? And then also recognizing, yeah, and we're part of a system. And some people really don't like that.
Yeah.
Well, okay, there's a decision there that needs to be made, but...
There are pluses and minuses to it, right? There's no question about that.
Yeah. So then what comes with that then is sometimes the heart of like, well, this isn't exactly what I want to do. Or, boy, I don't like, you know, some of the stuff that comes with being a part of it. Well, it just is what it is, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
take the bad with the good.
Right, exactly. You know, I had a conversation recently with Dr. Jesse Roski, and she reminded me of Atul Gawande's TED Talk from 2012, which I hadn't seen in a while. And if you haven't seen it, it's totally worth seeing again. The title of that TED Talk is How to Heal Medicine. Mm. And the whole talk is about being a part of a system. Mm. We all know Atul Gawande now, years later. I think of him as a real influencer, like in the most honest way in your industry. But he, in his TED Talk, as I recall, Chris is talking about, hey, you know, we're trained to be cowboys, but really we need to be a pit crew. We need to be a pit, all of us together, because there's just too much to do. We can't be cowboys, even though we might have been trained to kind of think that's our role, like we got to do it all. Does that strike a chord with you too?
Yeah, I think so. And I think what I would say, and you know, again, this is only my own perspective, but
right.
the hard part of that is, especially for us as physicians or providers, we're in the pit crew, but there also is a responsibility and, dare I say, an authority that comes that at the end of the day, you know, my patients want to know my opinion or even want me to tell them what I think they should do. And, you know, and it's on a spectrum, right? Some people just want an opinion, they'll make a decision. Other people, oftentimes, I try and give everybody the option of you know, making their own decision, right? Because they're going to bear the consequences of their decision, good or bad.
Indeed.
But at the end of the day, a lot of them are like, yeah, but what should I do?
And they ask that of you.
Yeah.
And so there's doctors, APPs.
Yeah, there's a great responsibility and a burden really that comes with that, especially in the conflict within healthcare over the last many years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And bad, right? I mean, it's exposed a lot of important things that I think we need to evaluate and reconsider in terms of authority and partnership and conversations and et cetera. But that is one of the contributing factors. And so as we as providers try and bear some of that burden, we are in a pit crew. But I mean, maybe, I don't know, again, my own lens, right? Maybe we're the pit crew chief. And so ultimately, we feel like there is, and there sometimes is, a real responsibility there that creates a different dynamic and an extra burden. And so,
well said.
Part of primary care transformation, right, is how do we do that differently, right? How do we redefine those roles? Mm-hmm. Humans, which we are creatures of habit. And so in order to get rid of some of the old habits that don't serve us well, we have to form new ones to replace them, right?
Yeah.
And part of the primary care transformation work is hopefully intentionally building better habits that allow us to work better in that pit crew, right?
Yeah.
But also recognizing our unique role in that as we try and take care of patients, take care of each other, lead in a more understanding and open-minded way, but also still leading, right? Making decisions that no one else can make, or at least influencing decisions in a way that no one else can do. But also coming to a new understanding of our role, the role of our work within the system, the role of those around us who we are dependent on, whether we like it or not, in that pit crew analogy.
Indeed.
Right? So that's really what that work is about. And that sounds great. But of course, the struggle is always in the nitty gritty and the moment to moment work.
It is. I think, too, as adults, we're not always good at being new at things. You know, we're practiced at a lot of stuff, you know, by the time you get to be an adult. So it strikes me that you're asking these teams, of course, to be new.
Yeah.
And so I was wondering, knowing how hard that can be for us, you mentioned habits a moment ago, what are some of the changes that the teams need to push through, right, in order to get to the other side in the team-based care?
Yeah. It's a good question, Richard. There's a lot. What I would say, I guess I'll start broadly first, and that is as people are getting out of kind of their to some extent, old comfort zones about how they did things. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that we should throw out the baby with the bathwater, but there are good habits we should maintain and probably some bad ones. Even if we think they serve us, they don't serve us as a broad team, right? And that's hard. As we go out, let's say we introduce, 10 new workflows or kind of ways of being. I would say most places that we've gone to or people we've worked with or clinics or cultures we've encountered within CentraCare, people probably adopt pretty well 5 to 6. And people really struggle with 4 or 5. Those 4 or 5 vary from place to place, right?
Okay.
But inevitably there's 4 or 5 that people are like, yeah, I don't think that's really for me, or here's why I'm different. But interestingly, they tend to be unique place to place. I think that at the end of the day, what we need to keep in mind is that there is this always changing and never perfected, but hopefully ongoing work at trying to find a balance between the needs of us as individuals and our roles on the team as healthcare providers, right? That's patient access, the RNs, the LPNs, CMAs, providers, et cetera.
Right.
And then you have the system, which we all are part of, and sometimes feels like has different priorities than us. But if we can take the time, and that's always hard to find, to think about what the system's goals are, and if we're really, hopefully, genuinely open-minded about that, we can recognize that maybe our cynical idea of what the system is about is not actually correct. It's just an easy excuse for, complaining. And then you have the patient, right? You got the patient who is trying to take care of his or her family, have a job, find a job, balance other needs, finances, all of this stuff. And so those three pieces are always in balance, and we'll never perfect the way we do care, or if we do, it'll be short-lived because those dynamics are always changing, right? I mean, if we're honest, we work in an industry where we as patients, and patients generally, we don't want to pay. Insurances, they don't want to pay,
yeah.
And yet we need to get paid as a system and as people with a job.
Right.
And so there's this ever-evolving dynamic of, well, how do we get paid for the work we do? And insurance companies are thinking, how do we not pay for the work that's being done? And patients are like, wait, why am I having to pay more for things that I didn't used to?
Right.
And that then plays out in all kinds of dynamics about how we deliver care, what it looks like, what people do or don't want to do, how we get credit or don't. And that is part of, as we redefine how we do primary care, it is trying to find the joy in the care we provide and know that that dynamic is always influencing what we do, why we do it, how we do it, and how we do it together. So I think, as I think about the specifics of what we're asking people to do, I think one of the biggest struggles is that we're trying to get back to, I think, a more, let me back up. We talk about team-based care, right? That phrase gets used a lot. That doesn't mean anything specific by itself, right? Sometimes people use it in reference to pairing a nurse practitioner or several with PAs and MDs or DOs.
Right.
Other times it means, well, it's the team of an RN, an LPN, patient access, and providers. Other times it might mean a whole clinic set up with a whole bunch of people in a mess. So people use team-based care as a phrase, but they need to define it more clearly. And what we're talking about as we're going out in primary care and transformation is really utilizing the RN, LPNs, CMAs, patient access, the providers, and then more broadly, the services we have within and around CentraCare, right? Community paramedics, integrated behavioral health, pharmacy, et cetera, because it takes that whole group of people to provide the excellent care that we want to receive ourselves. We can't do that work as, the cowboy provider that maybe we think of as the Norman Rockwell painting from, decades and decades ago.
Right, right.
So shifting that thinking, we know it generally to be true, but shifting that thinking around how we work together is tricky because it definitely takes some sacrifice on the part of all of us, right? The sacrifice as a provider might be that I give up a little bit of the time that maybe I would enjoy with a patient, because I know that the RN who comes in to provide some education around hypertension and diabetes has a little more time than I do. And that frees up my time to go into a different room to have a difficult conversation about end-of-life choices that maybe nobody else can have.
Right.
And that also then requires more work or time perhaps on the part of the LPN, who then is doing some other stuff with the patient that in the past they would just shuttle to me to get done, you know, because I'm the doctor, so I make that decision. So that is uncomfortable, right? We get used to habits, and when habits change, even if they lead to a better result and we know it, it's still hard to adapt to.
It is. The other element that I wonder about, and I know we're a little short on time now, but the other element I wonder about would be the patients. Because, of course, you have some patients, right, who are of an older generation who do want to hear that from you. I imagine you have other patients on a younger generation side who don't necessarily need to hear that from you. What is that like? Because the people you're interacting with are not the same.
Yeah, agreed. And I think core to all the work that we're doing in primary care transformation, or just generally within Centric Care, is that at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is serve patients. And sometimes that is the individual patient and their family in front of us. Sometimes it's the individual patient and their family on the other side of, you know, the MyChart message or the video screen.
Right.
And sometimes it's the patients broadly, right, in the community that I serve, or, you know, in the school district that we're working in, or whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
And we already do this as we move from room to room or across encounters. And we recognize that some people need and most effectively receive care in different ways than other people. And so the same is true for a team, right? I mean, there has to be flexibility within how we work so that, you know, there are some people that I respond to personally or individually, because I know that that is important for them to hear and receive the message.
Right.
And other people who would actually rather hear and more effectively hear the message from my RN, for example. Mm-hmm. And so those are things that we learn over time and do our best to, you know, achieve day to day. Right. And are we perfect at that? No, not at all. But boy, we sure try hard. And that's, I think that that's true of all the work that we're doing, is that we do our best. We, you know, trust each other and have faith in each other, and continue to lean on the relationships we've built, and continue to try to build them across our team and across our site, and across our clinic or pod or whatever.
Yeah.
And then continue to revisit the importance of, well, what are we doing? We are trying to take care of our community, our teachers, our students, our families, and doing that together is the only way to succeed at that, both in the immediate term and over the longer term.
Love it. Chris, I want to ask you this question because I'm not sure of it these days. What is your role? You are an amazing mentor of this concept of, I would say, the joy in healthcare, of the joy in the care you provide. And you're also a chief evangelist to some degree as well. What is your particular role in all of this?
Oh, Richard, I don't know, man. I'm not sure. I think, I don't know. I mean, I think if I could define my own role in it, or at least as I see it, or as I wish it would be, I mean, it's probably not the correct business language or flowery, but
whatever,
you know, I mean, my role is to try and provide the best care that I can to the patients who need it and ask for it, in the context of my team, right? Knowing that I need other people to do that well, and in a way that enables me to be a good friend and a good husband and a good father and, you know, all those other roles, and still have the energy to come back and do it again and again and again. And if I can do that in a way that other people can learn from, and I can learn from them, right? I certainly don't have all the answers, nor do I think that, nor will I in the long run, right? We're always learning. So if I can do that in a way that helps other people, and then I can learn from others and adopt and adapt to their ways so that we all do better together, I mean, that's the end goal, right? Because I live in a community where my family, my wife, my in-laws get care, and I want them to get the best care. So if we can do that better together as Centric Care, I mean, that's a, ultimately I can admit to that. Like, this is a selfish win,
right?
If I can do a good job, enjoy it, and be really confident in the immediate and long-term care that my family and friends and loved ones are going to get, that's great. That is my role.
Yeah.
Is there a title or whatever else? No, I don't even know.
Fantastic.
But that's hopefully the goal, right?
I'd go after that goal every day, the way you describe it.
Yeah. Well, is it achievable, man? That's the unknown, right? But boy, we sure work towards it.
That's the hardest part. Like, I don't even know how many people are in primary care at CentraCare. Like, but it's thousands, right?
Yeah.
So we're asking thousands of people to do what you just talked about. And that's going to take a while. It's not easy to do. Not easy to adopt all these new habits.
No. Well, and it's particularly hard because I think the hardest part about all of this, Richard, is that we are functioning in an industry, in an environment, in a society where there are tons of things that are changing and very difficult that are completely outside of my sphere of influence, right?
Right.
You know, as cost is shifted to patients, and as, again, you know, whether it be CMS or insurance, continue to evolve and play the game of we want to pay less ultimately for, you know, care, whatever else. I mean, those are things that then have a direct impact on my ability or my perceived ability to care for my patients and what I can offer.
Yeah.
And so that's very, very frustrating because the care we provide is very, very personal and very, very meaningful. And so if there are these barriers, that's frustrating. But if I can't do anything about them, well, what can I do something about, and how do we function better? And again, this is what we try and do within primary care transformation. People a lot of times say, well, we just need more staff. I get it. I have no bus full of people applying for jobs, you know, following me to this place, right? So
right.
I agree. Like, that would be ideal. Well, yep. We need better funneling systems for nursing programs and medical school, right? I mean, which we're trying to start in the area, all kinds of things, but those are not immediate solutions. Mm-hmm. So what can I do today to take the best care of patients that I can with my team, right? Our patients, in a way that allows me to get through the weekend and come back and do it again next week or the next week, right?
And to find the joy in it.
Yeah, and find the joy in it. And that's the key to then what can we do with what we can influence right now?
Love it, Chris. You are always a breath of fresh air, and there's always a sense of like why you do this, right? That inspires me as I listen to you, because that's why any of us do any of the work that we do.
Well, I appreciate that, Richard. It's nice to talk to you too. I appreciate the provocative questions and also really leaning in and exploring, because it's not easy, nor is it straightforward work.
I'd like to thank Dr. Chris Thompson for being our guest on Statum today. When we revisit this topic in future episodes, we'll talk with other primary care clinicians who are somewhere on the path of adopting new habits. We'll learn from their experience about what's working and what's not. Next week, I'm going to turn the tables on Dr. Lucio Mincez, who hosts the Science of Practicing Medicine series. He's taking a new approach to education at CentraCare that is soon to include a Grand Rounds discussion. What I appreciate about Lucio, aside from his humor and excellent guitar riffs, is his intellectual restlessness. He wants to mix it up with other clinicians, always with an eye or an ear for getting better. Until then, take good care.